good evening. How are you? You're doing well? Well, greet someone for me and tell them you look sharp. I hope you really look sharp. Otherwise, your neighbor will be telling you by faith. Okay, look for someone who looks sharp and tell them you look sharp today. I'm glad to be sitting next to you. I'm grateful. Who told you to sit down? Now you have sat down. Come on, stand on your feet. I thought these are young people here. I mean, if Pastor Nick sits down, I don't mind. And Pastor Obuana. But you young people, you should be allowing blood to circulate in your legs. Because you just jump up and down. And be just a little. Allow that blood to circulate in your system so that you don't fall asleep on me. Because if blood does not circulate, you start sleeping. And it's not fair. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm glad to see each one of you. Are you sitting next to a person of faith? Hey, look at them and tell them, neighbor, I'm glad to be sitting next to you today. I hope you are a believer. Well, there's a reason I tell you that, because if you're sitting next to Philistines, I allow you to move around and sit among some Hebrews so that you can keep on talking to them. Well, God bless you. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. Our hearts are open. Our spirits are alive. Our minds are alert to receive from your word. And we declare, Father, we are ready to learn. Receive glory and honor out of this service. In Jesus' name. And again we say,
amen.
One more time we say,
amen.
God bless you. Let's be seated, please. Wasn't that good stuff? I say, what we are being taught right now by my brother, Pastor Ogan, was in that great stuff? Did you learn something?
Yes.
I did not know so much about number 14, but since I came here, I've learned so much about number 14. I won't go and do a research on that, just number 14. It's a great, that was great exposition on that number 14. Really learned a lot, and I give God the glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, our time is gone. So, in fact, I was telling Paul, no, don't let him finish. Don't stop him. Let him continue. That's good stuff. Because me, I'm still here with you till Saturday. So I can still download what I need until Saturday. Are you understanding, friends? Because I understand my brother may be leaving a day early. He's leaving on Friday. But me, I'll leave on Saturday. So I'll be with you until Saturday morning. So I've got more time to download what I need to say. But never, and it's come from far. Me, I've just come. I'm Ugandan. I'm Luya from Samia here. Just the other side of the border. Just near here. So me, and he has come from a far country. The Bible says, good news from a far country is very good for us. And that was great revelation. And I thank God for our Nigerian brothers, because there's something the Nigerian church brings to Africa that we need. There's a lot of revelation that we receive from the Nigerian ministers. And I'm saying this with all sincerity. When I sit down and listen to preachers from Nigeria, those who love the Lord, who teach the word, who are, of course, there are some dodgy ones. I'm not talking about those ones. Did I say that? I'm good. I'm glad I'm saying, because even in Kenya, say I'm dodgy characters. If you come, I'll tell you, please, my brother, don't go there. He's going to clean you out. But the ones I listen to, you'll find they come up with very good revelation, powerful stuff from the Word of God that teaches us a lot. Amen?
Amen?
Because we don't have a lot of time, I just want to introduce something. We'll pick it up the next time I speak, which is maybe tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. But that means you have to come back. Because me, I'm here. And because I'm here and I've come all this way because of you, you have to come back. Tell your neighbor, will you come back? Now give them a serious look. I tell them, will you come back? What did they say? They say they will. Good. So I'm not going to finish what I want to say. I'll just introduce and get out of your way so that we can take a break on time. Is that all right? I said, is that all right?
Yes.
How many of you know that change is not possible until it begins in one place where change needs to begin? And that is up here. Can I say that again? Change is not possible until it begins where it's supposed to begin, which is where? Up here. In the book of Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, it talks about the renewal of the mind. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. Hulu computer doing a bane. Let's read together. What does it say? I beseech you. I thought you are Christians. You are? From Christian churches. So you read the Bible in church? Okay, that's Bible. Can you read it together? What does it say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Continue verse 2 quickly. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the name of the Lord. He's talking about the renewal of the mind and the transformation of life. Don't conform, but be transformed. Don't conform, but be transformed. I've done this illustration here before, and I'll do it again because there are people here who might not have been there when I did it. These two bottles of water, they are called Aquasipi. I think they are made in Uganda. This is a full bottle of Aquasipi. This is another full bottle of Aquasipi. There's a bottle of water here that my brother Paul has been drinking. This is another Aquasipi. This is an empty Aquasipi bottle. Hello? They are all made by Aquasipi. The word form comes in that scripture about twice. Do not conform, but be transformed. Okay? Do not conform, but be. See, this is an empty bottle. My brother Paul has drunk all this water. This is full of water. This water has no choice. It takes the shape of the bottle. It conforms to the shape of the bottle. Am I making sense? Can you open this for me? You look intelligent. You're a man of God. Have they told you that before? I'm confirming it. What's your name? Antonio. Fantastic name. Yeah, open it for me. Thank you, Antonio. This water in this bottle has taken the form of this bottle. Now you open this. You are also Antonio? Oh, you are Billy. God bless you. If I pour this water into this bottle, because they are exactly the same shape, this water still takes the shape of this bottle. But do you realize it's not changed the form? It's still the same thing. Because the shape of this bottle, these two bottles are the same. Am I clear? So what I've done is that I've just moved from one same shape to another bottle of the same shape. The water has got to remain in this. This is conforming. This has conformed. But if I take this same water, pour into a totally new shape, new container, do you see what it has done now? It's taken a new shape. This water is transformed, but if I just keep on moving from this bottle to this bottle, it's still conforming. Am I making a point here? Now, many of us, what we do easily is that we keep on conforming from African culture to American culture to South American culture. Can I continue? Oh, we are just changing cultures, but what we are doing is that we are pouring ourselves from one bottle to another. You are no longer in an African bottle, you are in a European bottle. No longer in a European bottle, you are in an American bottle. No longer in a... But that's still conforming. But what Paul is saying, no, don't do that. Be transformed. In other words, move from this form, go to a totally new form. Are you understanding that? Then he says, as the only way you can do that is by the renewing of your mind. Now touch your head, touch your head. And tell your neighbor, for me, neighbor, the degree. I said you look for a neighbor who looks like a believer, not that one. Look for a neighbor who looks like a believer. Have you found a neighbor who looks like a believer? Okay, talk to her, tell him, neighbor, the degree to which your mind is renewed is the same degree to which your life shall be transformed. If your mind is renewed 20%, your life is transformed only 20%. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. You are what you think. Your thought life defines your life. I like the way Joyce Meyer puts it. Actually, she borrows the concept from a man I'd listened to much, much earlier. And the concept is this. The battle for your life is not fought in the physical. It's not even fought elsewhere. It's fought on the mind. This is the battleground. Uganda is a very good football team. You call Uganda Cranes. You know it. They beat Kenya many times. I confess. With a lot of pain. But life is like that. You cannot win them all. We win in athletics, you win in football. But life goes on. If Kenya Harambee Stars was playing Uganda Cranes, and they say the football match is at the Nambole, is it the stadium? Is at Nambole Stadium. And then the Kenyan team arrives in Uganda. They want to go for the football match. We have come to play against Uganda Cranes. And then someone remembers. There used to be a stadium called Nakivubo. So we shall go to where? Nakivubo. But the referee and the Uganda Cranes have gone where? To Nambole. And therefore the Ugandans are there waiting for the Kenyans to turn up. And the Kenyans are in Nakivubo also stretching out. Waiting for the Ugandans to come. The referee is in Nambole. The Uganda Cranes are in Nambole. But the Kenya team is where? Nakivubo. Do you know the referee just gives about 5 minutes? And if the other team does not show up, what does he do? Walk over. Many of us, the devil has a walkover of our lives. Because we don't know the battleground for our lives. The battleground is up here. And until you have dealt with your belief system, I can assure you, you'll keep on losing this battle again and again and again. That's why if I'm going to help you, and if we are going to help you with my brother Ogan and Pastor Laban and the others who are coming here, we've got to help you start thinking. Not like a Ugandan. Not like an African. But as a kingdom person. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because there's a way we think like Africans that is not helpful. Africans, they say Africa is not poor, but Africa is poor. Can I say that again? Because some of you are getting offended. They say Africa is not poor, but Africans are. There's a reason why God has kept the oil in Uganda hidden until a few years ago. And when we saw oil in Uganda, we knew it was a matter of time for it to be found in Kenya because we are neighbors. It is flowing also. So they've also discovered in Uganda. And I can assure you, it will be discovered in Tanzania very soon. Why has God kept, why did he keep it all this hidden, all this time? There's a reason. Why now, Nigeria is an oil producer. Kenya, Uganda are going to become oil producers. And all these things is coming in a season whereby, where the oil in the Middle East is about to dry out. Countries like UAE, in another 10 years, they no longer be oil producers. Their wells are running dry. Qatar and all these places, the wells are running dry. And by the grace of God, it's being discovered here. The eyes of the world are now focusing here. So Africa is not poor. And that's the message I started bringing to the young people I started meeting with about 10 years ago. There's enough resources in Africa to take care of Africans. But there are some things that are eating us. We are not thinking properly. CNN says, one of the reasons Africans are poor is because we hold on to some traditions and beliefs that we should have discarded long ago. For example, can I help you? Can I help you? It is only in Africa you find 2,000-3,000 people attending a wedding. Two, 3,000 people attending a wedding. You tell me, how do you feed through 3,000 people? You're going to be broke. Am I making sense? Even in England, the other day, the son of Prince Charles was getting married. It was by invitation only. These are people who have got all the money in the world, but they only invite 200 guests. But someone who does not have all the money in the world wants 3,000 people in his wedding. Can I continue? Really, what do you need 3,000 people to do in your wedding? You're only marrying one girl. But do you know, when you once you get 3,000 people there, what do you have to do? You have to feed them. Am I correct? Are you aware a wedding is an investment with no financial returns? Can I repeat myself again? A wedding is an investment with no financial returns. When my daughter was getting married, she came up with all these ideas. I asked her, Joy, what are you doing to yourself? She says, oh, my friends will give me money. I told her they don't owe you money. You come up with pre-wedding committees, oh, thinking your friends will give money. They don't owe you money. You're getting offended. Am I helping you? And these are some of the things you're still holding on to. Weddings, big weddings, and big funerals. Shall I continue or stop? Our funerals are expensive. If there's something we can learn from the Muslims, is you die today, we bury you today. By the time we're informing the world, you are underground. That's a lesson I feel I need to teach the church. So that my brother, if you die in the morning, by 4 o'clock, you are underground. Latest the following day, I'm talking from the nation of Kenya. Nation of Kenya, there's someone in today's newspaper who's being laid to rest after 8 months in the mortuary. You tell me the morgue fees, how much they are going to be charged. 8 months, at even if it is 1,000 Kenya shillings or 500 shillings a day, how much the family is going to pay? Because they argued, where shall we bury this old woman? Because if you bury him on my land, you may claim a portion of my land because your mother's body is here. Vanang. Are we seeing some of the problems we bring to ourselves? That's why in the West, they started burying people in a public cemetery. So that it is not in anybody's land. It's in public cemetery. But with us, someone dies in America. We must bring the body back to bury in Barara. The man had even an American passport. He was an American citizen, for God's sake. He was already traveling on a British passport. But he still wanted to bring the body to come and bury. In the Bundibuji or whatever. There's a place like that. Are you realizing some things that are destroying us? Our thinking has not changed. So if I'm going to help you, we want to start challenging your thinking. Somebody say amen. Amen. We must change some of our beliefs and start getting some positive beliefs into our systems. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me give you just one or two points of what I wanted to share very quickly. In the book of 1 Samuel, verse chapter 16, verse 17, and chapter 17, just keep it open. I'll pick it up next time. I may just make a point or two, and then we take a break. We find the calling of a man called David. Do you remember David? Do you remember David?
Yes.
I'll talk a lot about him, all right, in this time. Because if we're going to help you young people, let's talk about David. Shall we do that?
Yes.
Because David is a good example, all right? The calling of David is very interesting. The calling of David, by the time God is calling him in 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you can put it up there, my dear brother, from verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter, from verse 1, that's verse 17. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a what? A what? Among his sons. Say, look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor. Do you like your neighbor? You like the one you're talking to? Can you talk to them, tell them, neighbor? There's a king in you that others do not know, but God has seen. You are not in this meeting by accident. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You are not getting messages being taught these things by accident. No, there's something that God wants to bring in you that your father may not have seen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God is telling someone, fill your horn with oil. Go down to Bethlehem. In the home of Jesse the Bethlehemite. In there, I've appointed myself a king. Even Saul, Samuel did not know whom he was talking about. Even Jesse did not know what he was talking about. I normally tell people, if there was an election in Israel, and David was standing for president, even Jesse would not have voted for him. And that is the gist of this story. Of course, now put up the scripture again very quickly. Just roll it up. That's Dell. I want 1 Samuel chapter 16. Not Dell. Out, Dell. The New Imperial Bibles. Looks like Dell is taking over our screen. Are you in 1 Samuel chapter 16? Is it back or Dell has refused to go? So Samuel did what the Lord said, verse 4, and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come in peace? And he said, peaceably I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Are you seeing that? Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse thus just made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen this. Look at this picture. And this is the only point I'll make, and then we'll pick up from there tomorrow when I come back. Is that right? How many sons of Jesse, you have been taught, it was mentioned earlier, passed before Samuel, and he was saying no? How many?
7.
Times 2? Yeah, we can still work with that number 14. We just cut it by half. Here is a man of God, come with his own of oil, trying to anoint a king, and as soon as he saw the first Eliab coming, the firstborn son, even Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is right here. He was ready to start pouring the oil, and the Lord said, stop it. Don't look the way you, the Lord doesn't look the way you look. You are looking at the physical appearance. You are looking at what he looks like. You are looking at his stature. But that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the heart. The first thing, number one, you need to change about yourself is don't compare yourself to other people. You are unique in your own self. One of the things that makes us weak, Pastor Nick, is many times is that we want to compare ourselves with other people. Let me assure you, in this world, there'll always be people taller than you, younger than you, talk to me, browner than you, darker than you, with longer hair than you has, with more hair than you have. Hello? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Me, I'm a bit hefty. And I don't apologize. And I'll tell you the reason why. For my calling and anointing and assignment, my weight is good. Wow. I don't apologize. So there's someone who come and tell you, oh, you have got a pot belly. I ask them a question. Has anybody reported that his stomach is lost? That you have found me with it? I mean, if you start commenting on my stomach, I'll ask you, has anybody reported I've lost a stomach? And I think I found you with somebody's stomach here. And they say, no, then this is my stomach. For my calling, for my assignment, my stomach is the right size. Am I talking to you or am I confusing you? I am telling somebody here, for your calling and assignment in life, you are the right gender. Don't try to become a man, you know, because I'm Andrew, but I want to become Audrey. Come on, shut up. For your assignment, remain Andrew. Don't try to change your gender. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ladies, stop trying to bleach your skin. For the assignment you have, you are the right color.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Eliab is coming. Shammah is coming. Abinadab is coming. They look tall. And even Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed. There he's come. Why? He's walking like a king already. And the Lord says, I don't look on the outside. I look at the deposit I've put inside you. That's why I told you to tell your neighbor, there's a king inside there that even your father has not seen. Even some pastors that you have not yet seen. Am I talking to somebody here? Because even Samuel had not seen it. It took God to talk to Samuel and tell him, don't you anoint that guy. That's not him. Because even sometimes we pastors make a mistake. Am I helping somebody here? So stop comparing yourself with others. I don't have the voice of so and so. Listen, for your assignment, the voice you have is good. You cannot hold a key. Thank God, just sing in the shower. Don't join an orchestra. Sing in the shower and make a joyful noise to the Lord. There's a place for you in scripture. There are those who are called to play instruments skillfully, but there are those of us who are called just to make a joyful noise. And it's acceptable in the sight of God. Some of us are just told, shout to the Lord. So all you can do is shout. And that's acceptable. One more time, tell your neighbor, for my calling, my assignment, I am the right age. Hallelujah. The right gender, the right color, the right size, the right height. I admire people who are taller than me. But for my assignment, I'm the right height, the right weight, the right color. Am I talking to somebody here? Don't you ever apologize for being Ugandan. For being Ugandan is not a curse. Am I talking to somebody here? You can come from Uganda and rule the world from this place. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Just because you are born in a certain corner of Uganda that does not even appear on Google Maps. Do you know there are some places you can Google and you don't appear? I never forget the words of Titus when he was preaching to us. When he was looking at the tribes of Uganda, it's mentioned Baganda, Teso, and then it stopped and said others. It never mentioned his tribe. It just mentioned. So he says, I'm among them. But God is using that man from the others. And I told him, you know what? Even Jesus came from among the others. When they were introducing Jesus, they said, whom have we met? The Messiah, whom Moses spoke about. They asked, and where does he come from? Says Nazareth. Says, what? Has a prophet ever come out of Nazareth? People say, no. But the Savior of the world came out of Nazareth. Nazareth never produced a prophet, yet it produced a savior. Your village may never produce a doctor, but it may produce one of the best politicians. Tell your neighbor, Bishop is talking about me. If they don't believe, just tell the Bishop may be talking about me right there. The first thing I would like you to change is to stop comparing yourself with others. Do you understand me, friends? Even if they come before you and they were called ahead of you, I can assure you, whatever is yours is yours, and nobody shall keep it. They may run like a rabbit and get hold of it. You come like a tortoise. By the time you get there, they have to release it to you. Hallelujah. They'll have to release it to you. One of the things we suffer from in Africa is the spirit of grabiosis. We are good students of grabiology, the study of grabbing. The problem of grabiology and grabiosis is that whatever you grab, grabs your heart. That's why the kingdom principle is don't grab, but seek first the kingdom of God. Come on, talk to me, church. And his righteousness. What does he say? And all these things shall be. You need to study about the things that are added. Because the things that God adds into your life are different from the things you grab for yourself. Because many of us want to grab stuff for ourselves, and the things you grab, they grab your heart. And you lose this grace of God. David was not among the first ones that Samuel was looking at. Not even Jesse. But how many of you know the Bible says, what eye has not yet seen? Am I in the right group? Don't make me feel homesick. If I was preaching this in my church, they'll be shouting their heads off. I'm saying what eye has not yet seen. What ear has not yet. What has not yet entered the heart of. Those are the things that God has prepared. Oh, look at your neighbor. Just push that neighbor. Tell him, neighbor, there's some stuff that belongs to me that you have not yet seen. Oh, look for the one on the other side. Tell him you have not even heard about them. Oh, Rakasandala Mamazika. Come on, tell the one on the other side. Even my father has never imagined them. Oh, Lakazika Ribabosi Kalama. If you can learn some of the stuff you are being taught here, the next time your father comes to Kampala and looks at you, they'll shed tears. Because they never imagined you'll be where we are taking you by this teaching. In their hearts, they never thought you'd be where the Lord wants to take you. It's not your father who has prepared it for you. It is God who has prepared it. Are you understanding me, friends? So stop comparing yourself to others and trying to desire what they have. If I were you, I'll try to find out the things which God has freely prepared for me and go for those things. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
Put up that scripture again. I want to close this because our time is up. So that we can, it's just it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks where? Tunasoma na wewe. What does he say? For the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Continue verse 8 quickly. Verse 8. So Jesse called Abinadab. Continue. Go, roll on, my brother. Verse, I got to go. Thus Jesse made a hand. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains. I'm about to talk to somebody here. Amen. Are all the young men here? What does Jesse say? There remains yet the youngest. And there he is. What is he doing? Keeping the sheep. That one, when we look at him, does not qualify. You are looking for a king? Yes. That's not king material. He's shepherd. Are you understanding me?
Yeah.
There remains who? The youngest. And there he is. Doing what we think he qualifies to do. Don't allow people to determine. These guys are not hearing. Let me come on this side. Don't allow human beings to determine what you can do and what you cannot do.
Yeah.
For I can do all. Am I in the right group here? What does Paul say? For I can do. Through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There may never have been a doctor coming out of your clan. But tell your neighbor, I shall be the first one. Can we help these people on this side? Come on, raise your hands towards them and say, Lord, bless them on that side. Let me come back and see if we can help you on this side. Are you understanding, friends? Because
yes.
People would be calling, there remains the youngest. He's only looking after sheep. That's where they have put you, in that compartment. But today you are breaking out.
Amen.
Those limitations my pastor was talking about here. Tell your neighbor, we are breaking out. We are breaking the snare. It shall no longer hold us down. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. Can I talk like a preacher here? It doesn't matter what covenants your father and mother might have entered on your behalf without your knowledge. Let me not preach to this guy. Let me preach here. They're not even saying amen. Can I preach in this area here? Can I be myself in this area here? See, it doesn't matter, because Jabez was called what? Jabez by his mother because of the way he was born. But when he became of age, he said, no, I refuse this name. This is not my choice. It might have been my mother's choice, but this is not my choice. You can break away from what even your father said about you. That's what my pastor was teaching you, that Reuben was cast by his father, Jacob, but there came another father, Moses, who reversed it. In this conference, for some of you, we are reversing some of the things your fathers have said about you. We are canceling some of the curses that have been pronounced on you by your father because you became a mulokore. Am I in the right church here now? Because you are born again, some of your fathers don't like the idea that you are born again, and they have said things about you, and those things have affected you. But as you gather here tonight, it doesn't matter what they called you. You are no longer the last born. You are the firstborn. Somebody say amen. Come on, bump your neighbor away. I'll tell him, neighbor, I refuse to settle. Oh, in the covenants and the curses and the pronouncements of my father and my mother's. Oh, I break out in the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, my father said, I shall not excel. Moses says, you shall live.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There is the youngest. He's keeping sheep. Do you know even that time they're not even seeing him? He was just pointing at a dust from a corner. You see the dust there? Those are sheep. In the middle there, there's a young man. We didn't even bother to bring him. Why? His nose is still running. He does not fit to appear before people. Go to the next verse. We'll close with this one. Look at the next verse. Are you learning something here? Or am I wasting your time? You're learning something. Put up the, not Dell, put the verse. Don't put Dell again. No, not blue color, the verse. It's verse 12, 5, 1. Are you still with me? Verse 11. There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, oh, it is come up there. Look at what Samuel says. And Samuel, come on, you're reading with me, church. Can we read together? And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. Those who did not recognize you will be told you are not sitting until Omagor gets here. Can you imagine all of them? Shama, Eliab, Abinadab, they were standing attention. And David is coming wiping his nose. Yes, daddy, I understand you are calling. Because he was just a young man looking after sheep. His father thought he does not fit to come in front of people because he was not properly dressed. Do you know he didn't have good clothes? He's not properly dressed. His etiquette was not great. But you know, God is not looking at where you are.
Amen.
He's looking at where you're going.
Amen.
Where you are is not my problem. It's where you can make it, where you can be. That's what I want to work on.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor, tell him, neighbor, don't be fooled by the way I look right now. I told you, I've swallowed some stuff that your eyes have not yet seen. I've got some stuff that your ears have not even heard about. I've got some stuff that even my father never imagined I could have. But when God is through with me, tell a neighbor, watch this space.
Amen.
I'm watching that space. Those who despised you shall not sit until you make an appearance. Somebody say amen. A time is coming that those who are first shall be last. And those who are last shall become first. Am I talking to somebody here? One more time, shake your neighbor. Tell them, neighbor, there is a king in you waiting to be manifested. We'll pick up from there when I come.